Christian Crusaders warmly welcomes you to our weekly radio ministry during our September anniversary month. We are celebrating 64 years of continuous radio broadcasts. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Not to be offensive, should Christians be less verbal about Christ? We're going to talk about that today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another day where we can enter the church, if it is physically possible for us to do so, or where we can turn on the radio or the television and listen to the glorious message of Christ. We pray, Lord, that we may so be filled with your Spirit and the contents of your Word that we may be verbal witnesses wherever we have an opportunity, pointing men and women to Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. Hear our prayer that we ask in Christ's name, and for his sake, amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, beginning with verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near there." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, from the Scriptures it is very clear that the New Testament church gave a strong verbal witness for Jesus Christ. Does this strong verbal witness continue in the church today? That's a question I'd like to look at in this sermon as we continue our study on the theme, How Does a Church in the Year 2000 Compare with the Church of the New Testament? Today, I introduce you to the man perhaps you have met many a time, Philip. It was not Philip the apostle of our Lord, but rather it was Philip the deacon. He was one of seven men chosen to take care of the practical tasks of the church, such as, were the widows being treated fairly? Were the Hebrews getting more food than the Greeks? And all of those knotty problems that the disciples did not want to take time to bother themselves with as they went on their way preaching the message of Jesus Christ to their world. That was the task of Philip and six others. But it is clear that Philip had other assignments too. On this particular day, he was on a country road going from Gaza to Jerusalem. And there he met a very interesting man. We might call him for our purpose the Secretary of Treasury of Ethiopia. He is described as a person who had been in Jerusalem to worship. So we can assume from that he had become a convert to Judaism. He was a person who probably had been raised in some of the more pagan religions of Ethiopia, and now he heard about this monotheistic religion known as Judaism. However, he was a man who still had little peace and had a lot of unanswered questions. While he was there in Jerusalem, he had purchased, or someone had given to him, a copy of the prophet Isaiah. So as he was riding back to Ethiopia, he was trying to make sense of what Isaiah the prophet was saying in this portion of God's word. And so he read these great words. He was led like a shepherd to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descent? For his life was taken away from him. As he read that, Philip listened because he had drawn close to the chariot as he was told to do. Finally, Philip had enough courage to say, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the Ethiopian eunuch turned around and said, "Of course not. How can I, unless somebody tells me what it means? Do you know what it means?" And Philip could say, "Yes, you bet I do. Then come up in my chariot and explain it all to me." And so as they went along the way, over those rough roads to be sure, Philip was telling this man about Jesus Christ, that he was a suffering servant, that he had come into this world, that he had suffered, he had died on a cross as a payment for the sins of the world, including that man from Ethiopia. And he said, if you will but trust him, if you will confess your faith and just know that Jesus Christ has paid the price for it all, your sins will be forgiven, and you will be restored into fellowship with God, and there will be a peace that fills your soul, a peace that passes all understanding. And then Philip is quiet. Now Philip has done his work. It's up to the Holy Spirit. We don't know how long they rode there in the chariot or if they had any more conversation, but finally they came to some water. And the Ethiopian looked at the water, and then he turned to Philip and he said, "What is it that hinders me from being baptized?" The Bible then tells us that Philip and the Ethiopian went down to the water, and there Philip baptized him. And when he came up from the water, he was a happy man. He went on his way rejoicing, and Philip went his way too. Eusebius, one of the great church fathers, has said that this man went back to Ethiopia and established a strong church. So you see, what Philip was doing that day was not only ministering to a particular person, but through his verbal witness was pointing others in that land of Ethiopia to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Now the question is, why did that early church, why did the church of the apostles, the church that we read about in the New Testament, grows so rapidly? Philip was one of these people who was a vocal voice. And I imagine that somebody could say, well, at any time in the Christian church, there are those who are so captured by the message and they are so free to talk to people that we have had these kind of witnesses like Philip. But we believe that they too were probably far and few between, as they are in the Church of Jesus Christ today. I don't believe that's true, friend. I believe that there was a chorus of voices that were forever pointing men and women to Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And the reason I believe that is that there's no way that the church could have grown as rapidly as it did had it not been for that individual witness telling the story of Jesus Christ. Of course there were great preachers. Paul, Peter, James, John, all the others, I'm sure, could stand up and just let the people know what Christ had done as they preached to the masses. But there were those individuals like Philip and Timothy and Lydia and a host of others who, whenever they had an opportunity, simply told the story of Jesus Christ. The early church was very verbal. And that's why it grows. And it's not only a matter of church growth, not only a matter of people joining an organization. Nero would not have been concerned if the church were a dying group. He probably would have reasoned, let them busy themselves with an organization that is going no place and presents little threat to the empire. But Nero knew that it was not that way. Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord, through his servant's work, was capturing people's souls. And they became threats to the empire. It was not that they were rebels. For example, they had been told by none less than St. Paul himself, you are to be obedient to the government. They were willing to do what the government wanted, but their first loyalty, and that's what bothered Nero, their first loyalty was not to the emperor, who people were supposed to worship, but to Jesus Christ. And so that whole movement grew like wildfire. Lars Qualbin, a historian of the last generation, has said this: the Edict of Milan, signed in 313 by Constantine and Licinius, recognized Christianity as a lawful religion. Constantine knew the future of his empire was bound up with Christianity. So you see, over 300 years of individuals telling the story of Jesus Christ, even the emperor knew that the only way that the Roman Empire could possibly survive was to get along with Christianity. What made it grow? Great preaching, sure. Individual witnessing, that really was the answer to it all. Now, look at Philip. Yeah, he was on his way to Jerusalem from Gaza. He was led by God. God said, go over by that chariot. You're going to have an exciting experience there. You know, people, this man could be described as a seeker. And there are millions of seekers in our world today. People who have a lot of knowledge about so many different things, but no peace in their heart, and an abundance of questions about their spiritual life. What was it that Philip did? He simply stood there. And as he listened to that man read, perhaps a man gazed down at Philip, and Philip took that as a cue, and he said, tell me, do you understand what you're reading? And the man turned around and said, of course I don't. Do you? Yeah, Philip, I do. Said, I do. I know that man personally who is being written about right there. And he said, get up in this chariot, I want to hear more. And so that convert to Judaism sat there and listened as Philip expounded that portion of the prophet Isaiah, telling him that Jesus Christ was his Savior, that God loved him, and that if he would but trust in Christ, he would be restored into fellowship with his heavenly Father. Then there's quietness. And finally, there's water. And at that time, the Holy Spirit had worked in that person's heart until he finally said, what hinders me from being baptized? Confessing his faith, Philip baptized him in the name of Christ Jesus. And it says that he went on his way rejoicing, and Philip went to other parts to tell the story of Jesus Christ. Friend, we are comparing the church of our day with the church of the New Testament. And here is the question. Does this strong verbal witness continue in the American church today? It would be unfair for any person to say, no, it doesn't. Today, the Lord's Day, the message of Jesus Christ will ring to the far parts of our land. Besides that, there are parents who are faithfully telling their children about Jesus Christ. There are Sunday school teachers who are giving their all as they expound the truths of the God's Word to those little ones who sit in their classes. There are pastors who have stood in the pulpit after many hours of labor preparing the sermon and have proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ, or will be doing so today. There are those who are really concerned about people who are outside of Christ or may need to know more about Him. One of our grandchildren has enrolled at the University of Iowa. He told that one of the very first days he was there, as he came out of the dormitory one night, here were a group of people from a local church, a well-established church, well-known in Iowa City, who were inviting these young people to come to their church to worship because they had something great to share with them. Isn't that a delight? I think that's powerful witnessing. So we could ask ourselves, well, shall we mark down A+? The church of the 21st century is just as vibrant in its ministry and as verbal in its testimony as it was back in the days of the New Testament. No, I don't think we can do that. There are many people who are pointing others to Jesus Christ. Let's not be that negative to say there are not. But when the church is decreasing in membership, or even remaining status quo, and there are people all around that church, evangelism simply does not have a high priority in that congregation's ministry. Let me say it again. Now, I'm not talking to those of you who are out there in rural areas where the people have all gone, out in the countryside. But I'm talking to you who live in little towns, perhaps, where there are many people who do not know Jesus Christ, or in the large cities, or wherever it is. When the church is decreasing in membership, or even remaining status quo, evangelism does not have a high priority in that congregation's ministry. And I'm afraid that's where we are in America today. The last 30 years of my ministry, I gave special attention to evangelism training. I know from personal experience that teaching people to share their faith does not come naturally for the average Christian in the congregation. He or she has all kinds of excuses. I can't do that. I'm not that kind of an individual. I have to do my witnessing by the life I live. Well, that's mighty fine, and we're going to talk about that one of these days in this series of sermons. But friend, it takes a lot more than just demonstrating. You have to talk. You have to point people to Jesus Christ. And many of my dear friends needed encouragement. You're just the one who can tell the story of Christ to that individual. They needed to be taught some basic principles on what made sharing Christ much easier if they only knew how. Yes, in that early church, lives were being changed, and it was growing. It continues to do the same in those parts of the world where people are free to point men and women to Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, their only hope. There are two questions to ask. Are lives being changed in our congregations, in our denomination? Is the church growing, and I don't mean just recruiting new members, but are they coming to faith in Christ? Are believers sharing the gospel with those outside of their faith? In these two points, we have to ask ourselves, how do we compare in the church of the 21st century with the New Testament church? That's very important if you want your church to be an arm of building the kingdom of God. Amen.
Lord, speak to me. Oh.
Lord Jesus, we stand in awe when we realize that you have chosen us to bring this message of Christ to the world. We know how inadequate we are, but we pray that you will be our teacher to show us how to share this gospel and then empower us to do it, that men and women in this 21st century may know Christ as their Savior and Lord. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. September is anniversary month for this program. Christian Crusaders began broadcasting on September 6, 1936, with the Reverend G. E. Melkert, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Waterloo, Iowa, as the founding pastor. The Reverend Bruno Schlachtenhafen took over from 1956 through 1961. The third radio pastor, our own Pastor Larson, began in January of 1962. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry and depends on the generosity of its listeners for financial support. Your gifts buy radio time across the nation to share the good news of the gospel to all those who cannot attend church. We thank each of you for your gifts and your prayers. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 38 years.